Hey, I'm Lydia Isnanto, and this is Dreampreneurs Chat. It's a show where I chat with dream chasers all around the world who make their passion their paycheck, loving the risk they took and the job they do. On this episode, I chat with a metalsmith artist, Cassandra Goldthwait. Her passion was questioned by people and society around her. What if you fail? But she courageously confronted herself, what if I fly? She is now the owner of Moonfire Charms, a jewelry business located in North Carolina, USA. For a self-made woman like Hello guys, welcome back to Dreampreneurs Chat. Okay, so we're gonna hear about her interesting journey following her passion. So Cassandra, hi first.
Hey Lydia, it's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you again. Oh my god, it's like how many years?
About 3 years,
yeah. The last time we met was in Sushi Bar.
Yeah, we had dinner and sushi and I had a good girls chat.
Yeah, and that time you already have the jewelry business at that time, right?
Yeah, at that time I had already turned Moonfire Charms into a full-time business.
Yeah, so I think we would like to know how actually the business and your passion started.
Sure. So I first discovered my passion for jewelry making at 14. When my mom's friend came over one day with a toolbox and it was full of Swarovski beads and silver wire. And that afternoon, she taught us how to make our own wire-wrapped earrings. And that was the moment where I realized, hey, you know, I really like doing this. And that was the magic moment that got me hooked on jewelry making. And today, you know, I'm happy to say that I've turned my passion into a paycheck and I am my own boss.
Yes. Okay. So you have been doing this business for total until now. Is how long is that?
Since when it was a sideline, it was 2008. So now it's 2018. It's a good 10 years now. I want to start the journey at when I was just fresh out of junior college. Mm-hmm. So I was 19 and I actually had really bad A-level results. And, you know, I wasn't able to get into any local university. I had to enroll in an overseas foreign university. Mm-hmm. And my parents are a middle-class family. So, yeah, I had to pay for the tuition fees on my own. And yeah, it was a bad time, you know, not being able to go anywhere because of the bad A-levels. But when I enrolled in the university program, I told myself that, you know, this is my chance to prove myself and that I'm actually capable of doing this. At that time, I had a full-time job, 9 to 5. And then I was going for classes at night, 7 to 10, dealing with exams, projects, assignments. And then I had my jewelry business as a sideline still, because as busy as I was, it just made me happy, you know?
I would imagine like without income stable salary, you know, and then you start doing the full-time business, that would be like so frightening. So what was the inspiration and what was the courage for you to do that?
So what happened was that after I graduated from Murdoch University with a degree in public relations and marketing management, the following year, Murdoch University actually gave me an award. They gave me the University Medal, which is only given to the top 7 students for each cohort. And my year, that was a 20,000 strong cohort.
Yeah.
So that was a big deal for me. Gave me the first taste of the saying, you know, it's okay to face a setback, but you have to make a comeback. And then, you know, I got my degree done and then I was able to turn my full focus to work. But at that time, once I fully focused on work, I realized that, you know, I don't like working in the corporate world as much as I thought I would. So I started thinking about the idea of quitting my full-time job and focusing on my jewelry business full-time instead. It's a big decision. So, you know, I talked to my friends, I talked to my family. And the sad thing is that, you know, I got a lot of negative reactions. So So yeah. people are saying like, you know, you're going to lose a steady income. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get like a bonus. You're not going to get employee benefits. Mm. You don't know if your business is going to succeed. And I think the most hurtful one was when people would say, oh, you know, jewelry making is not a real business. I took those in and I just kind of thought to myself, you know what, you know, maybe this is not a good idea. So I just stayed at my corporate job. And I think in society, people think, you know, the road to success, the typical road is you go to university.
Yeah.
You get your degree, exactly. you find an office job, exactly. and then you start climbing the corporate ladder. And you know, how successful you are is how far up that ladder you climb.
Yeah, especially in Singapore, right?
Especially in Singapore, very much so. Yeah, and I think there's nothing wrong with that, but we need to really start expanding the definition of success, because there's so many other paths to success. Than just your career and how much you're earning.
When you start deciding you want to go for it full time, do you have some support or like from family or something?
It was a big big risk, but I did 4 years in total in the marketing department, and then that's when I realized that, you know, I can't do it anymore. I don't want to climb the corporate ladder. I want to find my own path and climb my own ladder, so to speak. I did the risk assessment too. I mean, at that time, I figured like I was single, you know, I was living my parents still, so I didn't have to worry about mortgage or rent.
Yeah.
And I didn't have kids to take care of. So if I took the plunge, it would just really be myself, you know, if anything were to fail. So actually, I would weigh all the risk, and then I told myself, you know, okay, I'm going to do this. One of the few people that really gave me their full support was my dad, and I really have him to thank. Yeah, because although I knew that he wasn't sure if my business would take off, he just quietly gave his support, and, you know, he would help me buy meals, and he would... he would give me money here and there, even though I told him, like, you know, you don't have to. You know, I'm just really, really thankful for his support. And I think, you know, when you're on a journey as difficult as this, you just really need the support of, even if it's just one or two people, that, that really makes a world of difference.
I stay in Singapore for 15 years. I know how it feels. Everybody work 9 to 5. It just doesn't make sense of... somebody who make business, especially full-time. I mean, if you have 9 to 5 and you have another part-time, that's probably makes sense. But if you're totally on it where the business is not showing anything yet, but deep inside of you, you've seen it, you have the visions. And, you know, one or two, even 1%, that really means the world. I mean,
it does.
Yeah, I can totally understand that.
It does. You know what the culture is like.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Oh my God. Like, I still remember I eat the chicken rice almost every day. You know, there are times where even I have to work part-time in McDonald's to sustain my business. I just don't want to go back to the corporate world.
and it was the same for me. I struggled for the first 8 months. And, you know, it was, like you said, you know, I hardly went out with friends. I stayed at home a lot. I ate my meals at home. I didn't buy clothes, you know, no makeup, no, nothing of that. I was just like survival mode.
After you become a business owner and you start your own, and what are the challenges that you face or you scared the most, or, you know?
Stay right there and we will be right back.
Like I mentioned earlier, I struggled for the first 8 months because I think when you are just starting out your business, that is really one of the hardest parts, where you have to, you know, find your niche, you have to find your customer base, and then you just have to get that momentum going. At the 9th month in September 2013, I had an idea, which was that, you know, everyone likes to, you know, either watch TV shows or watch movies or read books. And there's always that one character that, you know, you feel like you identify with, that you can connect to.
Yeah.
And at that time, there wasn't a way for people to express like the connection they felt with a certain character. With that, I came up with the idea to design jewelry that would enable a person to wear it and show and say, hey, you know, I feel an affinity with this particular character, whether it's from a book or a movie. At that point in time, you know, I designed one piece and I got it produced. But the thing was that I only had $700 in the bank left. And producing that piece really took up almost the entire $700 that I had.
Yeah.
And at that point, it was really make or break, because if it didn't work, then I would have to face reality and say, you know what, I'm out of cash. It's time to get back to the corporate world. And that was a big tipping point for me. But luckily, the idea worked. So that piece was a success. And I managed to recoup my investment and I made a good profit. And I managed to get the profit, and then I reinvested that into a second piece. And that was a hit as well. And that was really the momentum that got my business going to where it is today.
And you did all those online, right? Do you spread to the retail or?
Yeah, it's an online business.
Yeah.
I did play with the idea of going retail and also having like flea markets. But I found that just going online, the audience reach is so much bigger.
And the cost is so much lower because you don't need to give incentive to anyone, right?
Yes. So I was able to price products better because you cut out the middle person, and you don't have like retail space and overhead to pay for. So it was a really good business decision there.
Yeah, that's perfect. Did you have a Wonder Woman back then? Look at this, my shirt.
You like Wonder Woman?
Oh yeah, this is my favorite character right now. Like, I'm really soaked into her.
I'm gonna have to get you something Wonder Woman.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I do have Wonder Woman, and it's been selling like crazy ever since the Wonder Woman movie came out.
And you have what kind of accessories? Like everything, like from bracelet, necklace, rings, or you have only one type, like only necklace or?
It's a full range. So we have necklaces, earrings, bracelets, and rings, but the most popular is always necklaces. Followed by rings.
And you mentioned you design your own garage or something?
Yeah. So what happened is that in 2015, I moved to the US to start a family with my husband. It was a big move, and I brought Moonfire Charms with me. So my inventory and everything, I brought it over from Singapore to North Carolina, and I set up home and headquarters here. In 2016, by then, the business had been going well for 3 years, and it was good. But for me, I felt like I hit a personal plateau where, you know, I was doing the same thing day in and day out, and I really wasn't learning anything new or doing anything new. So what I did was I took my profits and I reinvested it in myself. And I started taking metal smithing classes. And so that I could learn new skills and techniques. And instead of, you know, outsourcing my jewelry designs, I'll be able to make them myself now. After I had some classes and learned some skills, I turned my garage into my workspace. And that is where I am a lot of time nowadays. I'm just, you know, in my garage. I have a design in mind. I'm working on a piece and I'm just focused and, you know, trying to make that piece into reality. And the thing is that, you know, I'm just really content. I'm happy making the piece, and there's no other place where I'd rather be. After I'm done finishing and polishing, I come back and I'm like, you know, I made that. Like, That's insane. I never thought that I would have the skills to be able to make something like that. And I think, you know, when someone buys the piece, then that's the cherry on top for me, where I feel like I'm acknowledged as an artist.
Do you have any goal and dreams? Where do you want to bring this business to? Maybe in the next 5 years or 10 years, or maybe 10 years is too far, maybe 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, 10 is a bit far to plan, you know, when you're an entrepreneur. Yeah. But we are actually undergoing a rebranding this year. Mm-hmm. And so we are moving the business from the fandom jewelry that I mentioned towards the direction where now that I've learned more metalsmithing, I'm going to start incorporating the jewelry that I make and selling them under the business name. So it's going towards more of my metalsmithing work this year. And that's why we're undergoing the rebranding.
I believe that there are so many people want to chase their dream. They want to do what they pursued, their passion. And maybe they have the same fear of what people talk about or what people think about, especially the close one, like their families, all those. If there's any one advice from your experience, what is that one advice for them?
I think my advice would really be keep your head in the clouds and feet on the ground. Mm-hmm. For head in the clouds, that's really the aspirational aspect where, you know, keep believing in yourself, you know, believe in your dream and believe in what you're trying to achieve. And as for feet on the ground, make sure you have your financials in check. Make sure you have savings to tide you over and make sure you are careful about how you spend your money, because the truth is setting up your own business is a big risk, and you really don't know how much time it's going to take for it to take off. So make sure you have something to tide you over to buffer there.
Right.
Yeah, but I think the most important thing is just never give up.
Actually, I didn't know your real story until now. I mean, back then when we met in Singapore, I already knew that you're working on your own business. I have my own business. So we connect because we both entrepreneurs. But to know the real journey of you, I mean, this is, oh, wow. And the challenge that you face, and you keep moving forward, and I'm really glad to hear this,
and I'm really glad that, you know, you asked me to be on your show so that I could share my story and, you know, hopefully inspire someone out there who's also thinking about turning their passion into a paycheck.
Yes, for sure. And Cassandra, so for listeners out there who want to find you and who want to know more about Moon Fire Charms, where can they find you?
My website and my work can be found at shop.moonfirecharms.com. And we are also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest at Moon Fire Charms.
All right, Cassandra, thank you so much for being on this show, and it's really inspiring. I hope that we can have another interview with you part two to know, like, maybe in the next 5 years.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for having me on your show, Lydia. It's been a great honor. I think what you're doing is great work, and I really hope this reaches more entrepreneurs out there.
Yes, thank you so much. All right, dreampreneurs out there, don't forget to just be bold and take the risk and keep being creative and be yourself and loving yourself even you are an artist. All right, see you next time. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
For a self-made woman like me.
This podcast is available on iTunes and other major podcast platforms. If you like the show, please subscribe and give your rating and review on iTunes. That means a lot to help the show keep going. You can also watch the video podcast series at youtube.com/lydiaisnanto. See you on the next brand new chat. Until then, remember to share your story with someone, because you never know how one sentence of your life story could inspire others to rewrite their own.